You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
That's for you. I'll let that out so you can play it.
The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Folks, let me tell you something. If I was doing any better tonight, I couldn't stand it. It's Saturday, February 8th. Let me tell you what's been going on for me in my life the last couple of days since we last spoke on the air live a week ago tonight. First of all, I went last night to a daddy-daughter Valentine's Day dance at a local performing arts center. The very same performing arts center that, Keith, you'll remember, and perhaps some of the local listeners will remember, that we hosted a large concert at a couple of years ago. We had a very big band from the 60s come in and perform, and we never made mention of that on the air before, but a few years has passed now, so we'll let it out that a band that scored a number of top 10 hits in the 60s came, and we put on that concert. We sponsored it, and it was a great, great night. Well, I went back to that very same building last night for the first time since that concert for a daddy-daughter Valentine's Day dance with my daughter. It was for fathers and daughters ages 3 to 12. Most of the kids there were 8 or under, though. My daughter's 3 years old, and we danced to classical music. We had a great meal, just an incredible night. And then this morning, when we woke up for the first time in a couple of years, we had snow covering the ground in Memphis. And we went out and built a little snowman together. And actually, in honor of that experience, we have here, as Keith Alexander is my witness in the studio tonight, a candle, the scent of the candle. We always light a candle before each show, if you don't know. The scent of tonight's candle is Jack Frost. So if you have never known what Jack Frost smelled like, if you walked to our studio tonight, you would know. It's But so that's going on. So just a great weekend with my daughter and with my family. We went out today in the snow, my wife and daughter and I, and we built a snowman. We had a little snowball fight. Great time. But let me tell you this, on the political side of things, I had the opportunity on Thursday night to appear. I was a featured guest on a popular European radio show called Antidote. It's a conservative and a Christian broadcast that's based out of Sweden. Now, you know I've been making some news in Sweden this month as a result of my television appearance, even though I haven't been featured as much on that particular program as I was promised. We were still on a European radio show this week hosted by a publishing baron and radio personality, Jonas Deger, and his co-host. Folks, short of my monthly appearances on Sam Bushman's show, The Liberty Roundtable, it was the most enjoyable interview of my life. We covered a wide variety of topics during a panel discussion that lasted an hour and a half. They introduced me, let me tell you, they introduced me, we got the audio on thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, but they introduced me as the premier conservative talk radio host of the English-speaking world. When they introduced me like that, I was looking around trying to find out who he was, but no, it was me. It was something to that extent. Folks, this is the kind of respect that we garner in the circles that matter. Now, every once in a while, we run into the annoyance of a conservative or activist who says, well, I can't come on your show. I heard you were a racist. Well, who did you hear that from? There have really only been two outlets that have ever mischaracterized us as such. The Southern Poverty Law Center, who is now going after anybody who believes in the biblical principles of marriage as a hater, and the ironically named Anti-Defamation League, who defames everyone with whom they disagree. Those are the only two outlets who have ever called us such irresponsible names. Now, the thing is, they're both very well funded, so if you Google me or the political cesspool, they come up pretty quickly in the search results. But no, for the most part, everybody else, everybody that matters, recognizes who we are, what we truly are, what we stand for. And let me tell you, I had an hour and a half. We talked about, well, let me tell you the description of the show. James Edwards is the founder and host of The Political Cesspool. We talked to him about his commitments, the American South, a call that in many ways goes in depth on difficult issues and should be the basis for further discussion among responsible Europeans. Folks, if you haven't listened to that interview, listen to it. It was great. Had a great time with Jonas, who will be our guest, by the way, next week on the show, I do believe, and I was told that within the first 48 hours after this show aired, there had already been nearly 10,000 downloads of the show in the broadcast archives, making it their record-breaking episode. This is the kind, you know, I felt like Elvis Presley when I read that, folks. I mean, this is what the political without hair. this is what the political says. But listen, we're cresting right now. We've had some problems actually in the last couple of weeks with traffic, based upon the steady growth and natural progression of our work, and the fact that we have been making a tremendous impact in Northern Europe in the last few days. We're having trouble. Our website's actually gone down 3 times in the last 10 days because of the traffic, and so that's something that we're going to have to deal with. It's a good problem to have, though. But things are going great. Let's get to the mail now. Got an email from a woman in Alabama who wrote, "Thank you so much for your radio program and the work you and the Political Cesspool gang are doing. Seeing the nauseatingly disgusting Coca-Cola Super Bowl commercial propaganda and reading the many comments on YouTube concerning it made me only more grateful for your show. You are the voice of sanity in an insanely propagandized and evil world. The commercial prompted me to do 2 things. A, give up Coke products forever, and B, donate an extra amount to your show. Please, 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 don't give up the cause. With voices such as yours, I might in despair believe that most, if not all, of our people were guilt-ridden, psychologically empathetic, alien-focused dupes eager to commit cultural suicide, ready and willing to go over to the dark side. Thanks again." That comes from Sue in Alabama. We actually got a complaint this week, Keith, from a listener. And this is how our complaints go, folks. He writes, "Dear Mr. Edwards, I'm wondering why you are not continuing to send me your written posts. So far, I've received only one of your answers to my first contact, namely when I subscribed to your site. Therefore, I ask you to please pass over to my email all of your writings. Good luck and best wishes from this Brazilian admirer of your work." And that was signed from Freddie in Brazil. So the only complaints we receive from our audience is that they can't get enough of us. And Freddie, let me tell you, my friend, I didn't pass it along to our to the administrators of our website. I checked into this personally. You are subscribed to our email list. You will now be receiving those things. And I promise you, my friend, we will take care of you. So from Brazil to Scandinavia to our heartland in the South, Sue in Alabama, Keith, we are making an impact. Let me tell you, folks, I have not felt this enthusiastic about a show in a while. We are cresting, and tonight it's going to get even better when we welcome Kevin McDonald, the incomparable Dr. Kevin McDonald, to the show in the second hour, followed by Craig Boddicker and a lot more. It's all in store tonight.
Onward and upward, James. Elvis without hair, that is really a scary thought, thinking of you as Elvis. But nonetheless, we are very gratified that we're finding a new audience in Scandinavia. And we're hopeful that Brazil is also breaking our way. So thanks to both of our listeners that wrote in, from one from Brazil, one from Scandinavia, and of course, Old Reliable from Alabama. Thank you so much, and you're the wind under our wings, folks. We don't do this for money, so we got to be doing it for praise or love or something, because otherwise we're doing it for nothing at all.
Well, we certainly do it because we're duty-bound to do it, but it doesn't hurt to know that we are making a positive impact in the lives of those who matter to us. Folks, Valentine's Day is coming up. We love you! We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. We are going to have a barn burner tonight. I promise you that.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. And as I was mentioning during that last segment, 10,000 downloads, nearly 10,000, less than 48 hours. The feedback from that European interview, which you can find there at thepoliticalcesspool.org, has been overwhelmingly positive, they say. So I want to thank and give my sincere appreciation to everyone out there who had a hand in making that possible. Now, moving forward, Keith and I had lunch a couple of days ago. And as we always do to chart the course for the show any given week, I was sharing with Keith that I found something. You know, we've been doing this for nearly 10 years now, doing this radio show. And so you always think, oh, I've seen it all. Nothing can really get under my skin now. I've seen it all. There's nothing that can irk my ire. I was browsing through news stories of the Winter Olympics, and I found an article that let it be known to me that the writers, those who are covering, members of the press who are covering the Winter Olympics in Russia this month, have banded together, 230 of them, to object to Vladimir Putin's suppression of free thought in Russia. Basically, you know that they have laws against sodomy in Russia, as any decent nation would. And these writers take issue with that. They say it's unfathomable that there could be a nation that entertains a suppression of freedom of speech. And I saw that. I was like, surely to God, they can't be serious. I'm going to toss it over to Keith right now. But surely these writers cannot say that with a straight face. They are banding together to protest Vladimir Putin's thought suppression of sodomites in Russia. Not one peep from any of these scumbags, any of these hypocrites when it comes to Canada and Western Europe and all of these nations that have laws on the books suppressing free speech. What are hate crimes laws? What are thought crimes laws? You can go to jail in European countries for offending a Muslim, for offending a homosexual. They don't care about that. But by God, when Vladimir Putin does it, they've got to stand up and stand against this evil.
Well, you stole my thunder, boy. That's what I was going to say. Apparently, suppressing speech that is offensive to the sensitivities of the politically correct is an indictable offense in the eyes of these so-called journalists. On the other hand, saying something that is offensive to Christian conservatives, for example, is not only acceptable, it's almost required in order to be a card-carrying member of today's mainstream media in the West. So let's just disregard all that. First of all, Vladimir Putin has been subjected to a torrent of the most unfair and biased reporting that I've ever seen. Everything supposedly is going wrong in Sochi. Why wasn't there any type of similar criticism about the Chinese in the previous Olympics that they had? Of course, the silence was deafening for that. Vladimir Putin is, and Russia are being subjected to this torrent of criticism because Russia is a white nation and Vladimir Putin is a Christian nationalist. Those are two things that put you at the bottom of the food chain as far as the mainstream leftists that run the media in all Western nations think. Now, on the other hand, America is run now by a globalist Marxist. Russia is run by a Christian nationalist. So, of course, Russia is going to come under intense criticism. We need to get the word out to our friends and neighbors that Vladimir Putin and the Russians are now the good guys. Barack Obama and the American establishment are now the bad guys. And, of course, no one could be worse, have a worse record for freedom of speech than Canada, which has enacted one of the most hateful anti-free speech, the hate speech laws that they have, and they are prosecuting things to the hilt up there. We see it all the time in the communiques that pass our desk. So, you know, bring out the truth. Let people know who the bad guys are and who the good guys are, and Vladimir Putin and the Russians are not the bad guys.
Keith, you're exactly right about that. And yeah, every article you've read about the Sochi Olympics is about how deficient the games have been and that the production put on by the Russians has been. Well, they had someone last, the one who lit the Olympic torch for the Russians apparently posted an unflattering, apparently had posted in the past an unflattering picture of Obama. And of course, she was denounced as a racist. This is one of Russia's gold medal winners in the past. But this thing about we've got to, you know, stand against the suppression of free speech, what a joke. They love the suppression of free speech as long as the type of speech that's being suppressed is speech that they don't want to hear, Christian speech, conservative speech. But when Vladimir Putin does something righteous and suppresses sodomy and tries to protect the children of Russia from such a moral deviancy and perversity, well, then they do it. And here was another thing, Keith. Bob Costas, of course, is covering the Olympics, as he always does. I swear to you, I was watching the games a couple of nights ago with my wife. We were watching it in the den by the fire, and Bob Costas came on. And I swear, I asked myself, could Bob Costas go this entire segment without blasting Putin? And the answer was no. At the end of the segment, after he talked about what was going on in the games, he talked about how all of the athletes there, all of them, were coming together to protest what Putin had done to the band. I can't even pronounce the band's name on this FCC licensed network, but it's a crude term for female genitalia, riot. You know what I'm talking about. That word, riot. And Putin had punished them for breaking the laws, breaking obscenity laws over there. And Costas praised the fact that these Olympic athletes were coming together to shame Putin for his suppression. That reaction didn't exist 2 years ago in the Summer Olympics when this Greek goddess, Voula Papachristou, had tweeted support for a conservative political party in Greece. She was banned from the games for tweeting affectionate remark, a supportive remark for a conservative party in Greece because they said Olympic athletes cannot speak politically. They cannot use that as a form to speak politically. So she was banned from the games, but these athletes that are supporting this, you know, homosexual and sodomite rights, so-called, they are being heralded this week by Bob Costas and the perverse Western media.
I tell you what do they say, heads I win, tails you lose. There's an obvious double standard here. Point it out to your friends and neighbors. Tell them just how far awry things have gotten. The Russians are now the good guys, and the American government is the bad guys. Bob Costas is the sorriest little weasel that I've ever seen on radio, television, mainstream media at all. The guy would not have a job except that he's kissing the right posterior of somebody up there in New York City. But what we would like people to do is to actually step back and see the forest for the trees. There is, you know, what is bad is good in today's Western world, and what's good is bad. For example, I was talking to James about a play that is so popular that even fundamentalist Christian churches are sending busloads of people to see it here in Memphis. It's the Broadway play Wicked. And of course, Wicked is supposed to be very wonderful today. Think about that, folks, as you can ponder these messages from our sponsor.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity, as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here with you in the political cesspool. It is Saturday evening, the 8th of February. Our first snow had fallen last night here in Memphis and covered the ground at least until noon today before it melted away. And it still continues tonight here in the cesspool. The show must go on. Now, we hear that there is a special listener in Missouri, that was considering calling in tonight. Now, if she is listening live, we want her to know that we want her to call in and ask us the question. I believe she might have had a question for Keith. Let's see what it is. Until then, we're going to tell you a story about egalitarian stupidity at full gallop in New York City. We actually had a story a couple of weeks ago about a New York City public school whose chief administrator, the principal there, was receiving a six-figure salary despite the fact that she never went to work and they watched movies all day. And there was rats running around the school and so on and so forth. Well, that's not all. That's not even half of the story about what's going on in New York public school system. Egalitarian stupidity at full gallop. Another public school in New York has cut its popular gifted program because of a lack of diversity. Now, here's the scoop. We actually should have saved this story for Scoop, who is a native New Yorker, Peter Stanton. Out of the Washington Times, the popular gifted student program at New York City Elementary School is getting the axe after school officials decided it lacked diversity. Public School 139 Principal Mary McDonald told parents in a letter January 24th that or SOAR, as they call it, would no longer accept application for incoming students. The classes will be heterogeneously grouped to reflect the diversity of our student body and the community we live in, Ms. McDonald said in the letter posted on Flickr.com. At least one president described SOAR as largely white. The mother conceded that the program did have a lot of white students, but worried that gifted students now won't be challenged enough. So basically what's going on here, Keith, is that the school didn't like the fact that the kids in the gifted program were mostly white. So they said, okay, forget the gifted kids, and we're going to do away with all of the advanced learning courses because they don't reflect the accurate amount of diversity that we think that it should. So I guess the thinking is that if they can't bring certain students up to the levels of the white kids, that they can always dumb down the white kids to make everyone else feel better about themselves. This is what American public education has become, at least in the New York public school system.
Well, we've always said that's what the aim of the radical egalitarians that crafted the Brown versus Board of Education decision had in mind. Their first intention was to raise blacks to the level of whites. When that proved to be impossible, they moved seamlessly and with no apologies whatsoever to plan B, which was to dumb down whites to the level of blacks. I think that the subtext of this story ought to be intelligence is racist. That's the message from the SOAR program in New York City. Showing intelligence is racist because the results don't follow the predetermined outcome that leftists want it to follow. If whites prove to be more intelligent and more of them qualify for the SOAR program, for this special education program for gifted students, than non-whites, well then we scrap the whole program because they will not accept contrary evidence. You know, it's like the Roman poet Horace said, you may drive Mother Nature out with a pitchfork, but she always hastens back. The left can't stand any contrary evidence to its radical egalitarian myth of human equality, James.
Pat Buchanan wrote about this in his most read column a few years ago, A Brief for Whitey. We posted that on our website earlier this week. We revisited it, I should say. Pat, our good friend and a man who has made a few appearances on this show, and he talked about this. And trillions of tax dollars to bring everyone together in terms of IQ and achievement in schools have not brought the gap together, or bridged the gap rather, in any significant standard of measurement. It just hasn't. And you know, that's not to say, listen, okay, so certain students are more proficient at academics. That's not to say that everyone isn't entitled to God's love and peace, prosperity, and happiness. But I mean, this is just the way it is. This is 75%, according to science, 75% of IQ and intelligence is heritable. You know, what are you going to do about that? Well, throwing money at it. I mean, we've thrown trillions of dollars at it since the 60s, and there have been no improvements in terms of the gap between certain ethnicities in terms of academics, and it's not gotten any better. So now this is the end game, okay? There will be no advanced white students because we're going to do away with advanced class. We're going to send everybody back down to the remedial level, and then everybody can just be happy.
You see, the left is dogmatic. They're totalitarian. They are not liberal in the least. What they are a bunch of doctrinaire autocrats that insist that reality mirror their pet theories. And of course, reality doesn't mirror their pet theories. It was, I think, Dr. Samuel Johnson that said, "Men are not equal, sir," to his biographer Bosworth. He said, "In fact, so far is that from the truth that no two men can spend 30 minutes in one another's company, then one or the other will exhibit a marked superiority over the other." So consequently, the left is trying to run society counterintuitively, and as a result, America is being driven to third world status. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, as Grandma used to say, and you can't make non-whites perform academically at the level of whites. Period. End of story.
Well, Keith, I got another puzzling story for you. We posted this to the blog last week, too. It was actually just a picture, but I had to go down a couple of weeks ago to Jackson, Mississippi. My wife's best friend gave birth to her third child, putting them about five behind the Bushman family. But, yeah, that's right, Keith. Add them together and you're close to the Duggars. And then here I am with my, I can't say measly one. And anyway, well, I'll tell you, I'll get to that billboard in a second. We have a caller and we're going to get to her right now. Always nice to have a voice of femininity on the air. We had Courtney from Alabama a few months ago last week, Laura Fitzgerald. Not your average housewife, a regular commenter on the Political Cesspool blog. And I believe, Keith, she may have a question for you.
I'm ready.
Hey, guys. I wanted to jump in on the Cheerios commercial debate.
Okay. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, I had a few comments on it. Number one, the video was interesting because of all the things that the black father could have been talking to his daughter about. Well, what were they talking about? About the wife having another child. You know, I wanted to make two points. Number one, only 0.4% of all whites are married to a black partner. So you have to ask yourself, why would they put up this commercial when this type of family is such an anomaly? And something else interesting statistic-wise, a white wife with a black husband, as they showed in the Cheerios commercial, in 10 years of being married, they would have twice the divorce rate of a white married couple. So it's interesting that they want to give us this false image, that they put out this image, but it is a false image compared to statistics. And I just really wanted to share that you know, 0.4% of all whites are married to a black partner, but they found this need to put out this commercial. So I think we need to ask ourselves, why are they showing this? Of course, you guys know.
Well, it's obvious that they're doing it because they're trying to guide social development.
Yes.
They also don't tell you that a white woman paired with a black partner, sexual partner, is more than 12 times more likely to be murdered or seriously injured in an assault by that partner than a white couple, a woman who has a white mate would.
Right.
See, these are inconvenient truths, not the type that Al Gore wants to talk about, but the type that we this is our standard fare here at the Political Cesspool. Thank you very much. We'll get back to more comments after these words from our sponsors.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Baby, is he looking after you? Is he showing you the same love, a warm love, just like we knew? Baby, baby, it's you I'm thinking of. In the morning when I wake up, in the evening, it's you that I dream of. Sometimes love hurts, and sometimes love's unkind, and sometimes you might feel blue. But remember now, darling, if his words are real, this will never, never happen to you. Baby, baby, there's things
that,
I like
to say. Thanks to the intrepid Sam Bushman, by the way, for working in that clip. It came in on a whim from Keith Alexander, who said, what, Keith, you wanted to relive your high school days there with that song? Senior year of high school for Keith Alexander. That came out there in the late 30s. No, I'm just kidding. But no, listen, we actually got an email. I'm going to read it later on in the show from a listener who commented, or commended us rather, for our musical selections here in the Political Cesspool. So I think he tunes in not only for the political content, but for the great music. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. And so Keith wanted to work that in. Also got an email during the break. We were talking about the situation in the New York public school system, the dumbing down of the student population there by eliminating the gifted program that didn't have enough diversity. This comes in from Janice, and Janice writes, lots of women listening to the show tonight. Apparently, Keith, we had not your average housewife, and thank you so much for that call, and we're going to wrap that up in just a second. But Janice writes, it's not just the New York City school system that plans to dumb down their education program. I have it on very good authority, but the person told me that they wish to remain nameless, that my old high school in Michigan will no longer allow any student to fail. This is very sad, since a bad grade here and there made me work harder to achieve a better grade the next quarter. These students will be mediocre at best and totally concerned with self at worst. The only thing good about Obamacare is that we will not be subjected to these children caring for us as we age, because Obamacare will let us die instead. Thank you, Janice, for that email. But yes, she's right. In fact, I have a friend who is a college professor out of state, and he said that they actually get graded as professors on their popularity amongst the students, and part of their popularity is concerned with passing them through and not giving them too much homework, not making the tests too hard, because it's all about making money in the college education. You have to have these students paying tuition, and they don't come there to be tested. They come there to get a diploma. And so even on the college level, you have to pass everyone through, Keith.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this, and it's strange that the motivation behind all of these efforts to adulterate academic standards are based on race and racial disparities in test performance and academic performance. When are people going to realize that people are not soybeans, we're not fungible, that there are racial differences, and those racial differences are very real. They've existed since the beginning of the reporting of IQ studies and results. And despite Herculean efforts by the left, none of their Herculean efforts ever seem to budge those basic differences. We're always one innovation, one new program away from making everybody the same and raising the achievement scores of black students, but it never happens. Somebody needs to tell the Emperor James that he has no clothes.
Well, we'll do it here on the Political Cesspool every night, folks. And thanks to you and the support we've received from our listening audience and the support we receive, God knows, from Sam Bushman. You know, we've been able to do some great things here, and we are growing every day. And I want to thank, again, Not Your Average Housewife for calling in with that question. And, you know, we received a lot of emails this week as a result of the Super Bowl commercials that she was mentioning, specifically the Cheerios commercial, which was propaganda. I mean, it's blatant. It's such obtuse propaganda that I don't know how anyone could watch it and not see it as such. But we received that email at the top of the show from Sue in Alabama, who was talking about the Coca-Cola commercial, who featured a homosexual couple along with other members of the support groups of the regime, as this is what America looks like. It's homosexual, it's multiracial, it's anything but conservative, heterosexual, Christian men and women.
They're trying to tear down Western civilization as it has existed for time in memoriam. It's the traditional method of defining a nuclear family is not only the basis for all civilizations, it is the formula for success. So basically what they're trying to argue for, their cheerleaders for, is a formula, a recipe for societal failure.
Keith, I've got one more for you here before this hour runs out, and I'm trying to catch my breath here because we've been covering a lot. Don't forget, folks, please don't forget that the second hour, the very top of the second hour, will feature the incomparable Dr. Kevin McDonald, a professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, followed by Craig Boddicker. And then in the third hour, let me tell you what's going to happen in the third hour, folks. We're going to have some laughs. All right? Stay tuned for Comedy Hour in the third hour. Keith, you want to say something before I get into this next story? All right, he said no. All right. Here's what I got, Keith. Beards are racist. According to an article in Atlantic Magazine, it might have taken until 2014, but finally, thank God, we have a white-hating liberal writer who has finally shed light on the never-before-known racism of beards. The whole article can be featured, or can be found, rather, at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, folks. Beards are racist is the title of the blog post. But here's what happens. It's the story of American facial hair, so reads the story. Basically, what happened was, in revolutionary times, according to this writer, being a barber was frowned upon. It was a position of inferiority. So white men in revolutionary times went to black barber shops, all right, because it was beneath them to shave themselves. This is what the story says. And then fast forward about 100 years into the Civil War era, all of these black barbers were becoming filthy rich. They were just becoming filthy rich as a result of being barbers. And the white supremacists frowned upon the fact that the barbers had so much money, and they couldn't stand it. And so what happened was, they quit going to the black barbers because the barbers were richer than they were. This story, it positions itself as historical fact, folks. This isn't a parody. I'm not coming to a punchline. And so when the white customers quit going to the black barbers, they started growing beards because, the story will teach us, they didn't know how to use a straight razor. They were killing themselves. The white men were slitting their throats because they didn't know how to handle a razor as well as the black barbers. And that's why beards were so in vogue in the Civil War era and beyond. They didn't know how to do it. I mean, the group of people that conquered the world and put together, the inventions that all of humanity enjoys today, they couldn't master using a shaving utensil as well as black folks without fear of killing themselves. So this was the gist of the story. Keith, you can read it in its entirety at our website or go to the Atlantic Magazine. But this is something that has passed along. It's historical fact. It's not a joke. It's not trying to be cute. This is, people read this and it's like, oh man, I didn't know that before.
The Atlantic Monthly is totally off the chain. It's also the publication that featured a story, The Death of the White Race, by some Chinese professor at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York, several years ago, that was again featured in one of Pat Buchanan's more recent books. The Atlantic Monthly would lie when the truth would sound better. The idea that whites couldn't manage or figure out how to shave themselves with a straight razor is laughable. These things, you can't make them up. They are so breathtakingly stupid. And they are debated as if they are great and profound truths by the Atlantic Monthly. You know, the Atlantic Monthly just needs to go out of business. It deserves richly to go out of business because it is a forum for errant stupidity, James.
But ironically, Keith, or coincidentally, I should say, the Atlantic Monthly is well-founded by no shortage of commercial sponsorships, while we here at the Political Cesspool and Liberty News Radio, for telling the truth, for standing for God, for standing for country, for standing for Constitution, for standing for the Constitution and our people, you know, we are listener-supported.
And of course, there's apparently a great market for stupidity because the Atlantic Monthly is richly endowed and its writers are royally paid to froth at the mouth about, like mad dogs with stupidity like that last story. I just, quite frankly, have to shake my head that any prescient adult would read the first paragraph of that and not dissolve into a fit of laughter.
Well, we're going to talk about how stupid people really are in the third hour. I told you the third hour is going to be comedy hour, and it goes into the stupidity of Americans and what they will fall for and what they believe. I'll give you a hint. No shortage of Americans believed that Jesus Christ was assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald. You think I'm being funny here? Folks, wait till the third hour. That's just a teaser of what's to come. But let me tell you this first. Kevin McDonald is on deck next. When you add Kevin McDonald and Keith Alexander to the same show, you got some brain power. We're going to take a break and get to it right after this.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.